people's names when I run into them, and I want to stop forgetting where I put my keys and glasses. Yeah, I want my brain back. That's why I want Neurostin.
Neurostin is a scientific breakthrough with clinically proven ingredients that can dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration and help reverse years of memory loss. Call in the next 10 minutes for a free supply. 1-800-300-3649. Neurostin's all-natural ingredients help dramatically improve your memory, focus, and concentration and reverse up to 10, even 20 years of memory decline. See for yourself. Try it risk-free now. If you want to get your brain back, call in the next 10 minutes to try all-natural Neurostin before you buy it. Supplies are limited, so get your free trial now at 1-800-300-3649. That number again, 1-800-300-3649.
The following program's views, claims, and/or representations do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of News Talk 1420 WHK or Salem Communications.
It's time for Firearms Forum and Concealed Carry Conversation. Listen up and get involved as Buckeye Firearms Association Chairman Jim Irvine welcomes guests and takes calls regarding the safety, ballistics, usage, and legalities of firearms in general and concealed carry issues in particular. Get on board now. Call 216-901-0945. That's 216-901-0945. Or toll free 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Now, here's your host, Jim Irvine.
Good evening and welcome to Firearms Forum and Concealed Carry Conversation. This is your host, Jim Irvine. The show is brought to you tonight by the Buckeye Firearms Foundation. We are broadcasting on News Talk AM 1420, WHK, and simulcast on the web, whkradio.com. Our board operator, as always, is Joe tonight. Thank him for keeping us on track. Phone numbers, if you want to join us, 216-901-0945. Or toll-free, 888-281-1110. Or you can email us, radio@buckeyefirearms.org. And got a lot of stuff that we didn't get to last week. And just want to touch on some things. First of all, I want to get into this Supreme Court case that the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear, the McDonald versus Chicago. A lot of media calls it the NRA versus Chicago, or some even the Second Amendment Foundation versus Chicago. McDonald is technically the name of it. That is the name of the individual plaintiff in the city of Chicago. And this is a, for those who aren't familiar, just a recap. Last year we had the Heller case, and that was involved the District of Columbia. And does an individual have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms? Pretty simple question. But it's been very convoluted over the years, and we haven't had a Supreme Court ruling on it. So in Heller, it was ruled that the Second Amendment does indeed apply to individuals. And this collective rights theory that is espoused by some of the anti-gun people was actually defeated 9-0. The ruling was 5-4, but all nine justices agreed that, yeah, this is an individual right. So the... So that was great. That was a huge victory, but it only applied to the District of Columbia. It doesn't apply to the 50 states. So now this new case focuses on incorporation of the Second Amendment. And that's a legal term, and it means the court's going to answer this question of, does the Second Amendment restrict state or city action or just action by the federal government? Now, the reason this is because when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they were concerned with an out-of-control federal government. They were not concerned with an out-of-control city government or state government because it was believed those are close enough to you that the people could get involved and deal with those or throw the crooks out of office with an easy thing. The federal government was too far away to get to for people, and they were worried that they'd be grow too big. So, obviously, the founding fathers were right about the concerns on the federal government and a little bit over-optimistic on the state and local governments. As time went on and our cities and states grew, we see the same sort of thing happening at the state governments. So the 14th Amendment came along and established that, hey, you know what? If the federal government can't take away your rights, the state and local governments can't do so either. And that's done through the Privileges and Immunities Clause. So this incorporation case is focusing on the individual right, and the Heller focused on the individual right, did not address incorporation. But this next case is going to. The exact wording of the court's order is whether the Second Amendment is incorporated into due process or the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment so as to be applicable to the states, thereby invalidating ordinances prohibiting possession of handguns. So that's, in a nutshell, what we're talking about doing here. The wording of the court's order indicates that the court's interested in revisiting the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment. And if the Second Amendment is incorporated, and all of our other rights have been incorporated, like your right to practice a religion, that's been incorporated. Your right to free speech has been incorporated. Your right to a trial by a jury of your peers, or to be safe and security of your persons and property without a reasonable search warrant or against cruel and unusual punishment. These things have all been dealt with years ago. But the Second Amendment, we've never done this. So that's really what this case is about. So the argument could be presented something like, given that you have the right to worship, you've got the right to a trial by a jury, you've got the right to counsel, or the right not to self-incriminate yourself, and all of our other rights in the Constitution, since all those apply inside Chicago, why should the rights affirmed by the Second Amendment stop at the city limits? And I don't think, you know, obviously I think we're right and I think we'll win. And it's funny, people ask, you know, are we optimistic on this? Are we worried about this? Always concerned when something goes to court. You never know what it's going to turn out. But like Heller, the law is on our side. It's pretty clear from my, again, I'm not an attorney, so, but my understanding, yeah, we certainly it's an individual right and it should be incorporated just like all the rest of them. So under a normal scheduling timing on this, we're probably looking at oral arguments in front of the court in January. Briefs are going to be due in November, and November for the plaintiffs, I think December for the defendants. And so we'll be looking at a ruling on this probably next year. So we salute the Supreme Court. Now, Buckeye Firearms Foundation filed an amicus brief with Heller, which means it's a friend of the court brief. We're saying, hey, we have some information we think you should consider in this case. And our brief was very well received. We got a lot of compliments from different groups. And it got picked up in national media. It was pretty neat. Pretty neat brief, and Ken Hansen did a great job with it, as well as Ramon Santini, Mike Moran, some folks who did research. A whole team of people went into this, but Ken was the main author of the brief. And we have committed that we will again participate and file another brief this time. So it's a huge undertaking. We're excited to be doing this. It's going to be fun to talk about this in the months coming up. But this is an enormous project, and we are delighted to announce that the U.S. Concealed Carry Association is joining us in partnership for getting this brief done. And for those who frequent the website, BuckeyeFirearms.org, you know you can sign up and join on there. They're a great organization. If you have a concealed carry license or you carry or you're thinking about doing it, I highly recommend it. You can find them. Just click on our website. We've got a link directly to them where you can join. And they're a great group. They have lots of interesting information. They've got a magazine that comes out 8 times a year. And it's a good group. So we're proud to be sponsoring or joining up with those with the U.S. Concealed Carry Association for another brief in this case. And look forward to discussing that as things go forward. Next, I want to touch on some federal legislation. As I know we've got a lot of law enforcement listening to the show, and there's a lot of federal law enforcement officers in Cleveland based here, and also a whole lot of extra ones that are here doing investigations on county corruption and things right now. So for those listening, I want to touch on House Resolution 866. And this would exempt peace officers from certain minimum sentencing requirements for using a firearm to commit a crime of violence when that crime is during or in relation to their employment. And I know a lot of folks will think, man, that is absolutely insane. Why would you want to do this? However, I think a lot of folks are gonna think a little differently than you might when you hear the rest of the story on this. It is of interest. It's also called the Ramos and Compting Justice Act of 2009, introduced by Representative Ted Poe, Republican in Texas. The bill's named after two former Border Patrol officers who were given lengthy prison sentences following their conviction for shooting a fleeing Mexican drug dealer. Now, a lot of folks will remember there was pushes for years to get these two pardoned, and President Bush did not pardon them. But he did give them clemency and release them at the end of his term. So the bill is similar to H.R. 66 from, or 866, and it's going to exempt peace officers from the certain minimum sentencing requirements for using a firearm to commit a crime of violence when the crime is in relationship to their employment. So it's important to any of the federal officers. And if you're a federal law enforcement officer, if you don't get the 1811, member of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, it's a good group. I recommend you join it. They got a good magazine that comes out. I believe it's quarterly. And it's an interesting read. So I think folks will like that. Now, I still think there's a better way to go about that problem. I think rather than simply saying, hey, they don't have to go to prison for these offenses, because, you know, what if a guy's in the middle of a job in some sort of relationship to his job and he commits murder? I mean, a clear-cut case of just vengeance murder type thing. I think he should have to go to jail for that. But I think really we have handcuffed our law enforcement officers in so many ways in what they can do and how they can respond. And they've got to make all these decisions in a portion of a second when somebody's life is on the line. I think a lot of times we're putting a restriction on them that is just ridiculous if we want them to do a good job. Hire good people and give them good rules and let them go do a good job. And when you have problem officers, remove them. Get them off the street. Get them, they just like any other employee, you know, some things can be a counseling or a training session and they're back in business. Some things are unrecoverable. Pretty much the same way as it is for the aviation profession or probably most other profession-type occupations. So it'll be an interesting bill to watch, and I'll be curious to see how the media covers it if that bill gets traction. So another big story in the news this week that we just have to touch on, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is in the news. He's got video of investigators and questionable gun sales at gun shows. Now, he got lots of headlines in the last month for a lot of mayors quitting his group, Mayors Against Illegal Guns. You know, some of them said, hey, we were misled. Some of them said, hey, we never joined up to that group. What are you talking about? I never lent my name to that. So, I question whether or not this is simply a response to try and get back some good press for his group, because he's certainly gotten his nose bloodied lately. But the bottom line is he's using the New York taxpayers to his claim to, quote, prove just how easy it is for criminals and the mentally ill to walk in and buy guns, no questions asked, unquote. So he says the BATF has identified gun shows as the source of more than 30% of all illegally trafficked guns in the country. Those are the most likely to be used in crimes and to kill innocent people, including police officers. However, the rest of the story, as always, and this is kind of funny. I got... just for those of you who read my quote in The Plain Dealer, I was quoted in The Plain Dealer as saying, let me find my quote here. I said, I hadn't read the report yet, but it's easy to dismiss Bloomberg as an extremist who fabricates and distorts the facts to push a hack job, half-truth, anti-gun agenda. Gun shows are absolutely a good thing. What's bad is when people break the law, and those people should be punished. So that was my quote. And somebody said, you know, why are you quoting if you haven't read it yet? Well, what happened was I was on an airplane. I land, the cell phone, I've got a voicemail. Reporter calls, says, hey, have you seen this? He's got a deadline. I said, well, I haven't read it yet, but here's some quick thoughts. Let me go read it and we'll get back to you. So we got back to you. That was the quote from that conversation. But back to this 30%. The BATF, I'm not sure if they ever say that. And I don't think they are, because Bloomberg's carefully to refer to it as, he refers to it as an ATF estimate. But, and they use this several times in their documents, used it many times in their news conference. Yet, the ATF has no basis for that estimate. And here's some hard figures on gun shows and crimes. And these are important for everybody to understand, because this 30% thing is going to get bantered about, and people will remember that because it was repeated so many times in the media and over and over and over. And you need to know the truth so that you can educate other folks on what's actually going on. In a 2006 FBI study of criminals who attacked law enforcement officers found that within their sample, none of the attackers' rifles, shotguns, or handguns were obtained from gun shows or related activities. None of them. Now, that was only against law enforcement officers. 97% of guns in the study were obtained illegally, and the assailants interviewed had nothing but contempt for gun laws. As one offender put it, the 8,000 new gun laws would have made absolutely no difference whatsoever about me getting a gun. I never went into a gun store, to a gun show, to a pawn stop, shop, or any place else where firearms are legally bought and sold. Also, Bureau of Justice Statistics report on firearms used by offenders found that fewer than 1% of U.S. crime guns came from gun shows, with repeat offenders even less, and repeat offenders, by the way, are the most likely to be violent. They're even less likely than first-time buyers from any retail source. That's a 2001 study based on interviews with 18,000 state prison inmates, and is the largest such study ever conducted by the government. That's from a Bureau of Statistics report, November 2001. Now, another thing that brings up, you know, Bloomberg's study, wondering if there's some selection bias in here. He doesn't do a study like a John Lott or a Gary Kleck or any other sound researcher would do, where you do research and you look at all of the data and then you base your findings on that. And you make it available to other people to look at in case you have a bias or you fail to account for something that somebody else can catch. It's peer-reviewed study. And we'll notice Bloomberg does none of that. So also, previous federal studies found few criminals using gun shows. 2000 study showed only 1.7% of federal prison inmates obtained their guns from a gun show. And that was from a Bureau of Statistics in 2000. But here's an important one. Mayor Bloomberg repeatedly refers to illegal sales, either for a straw purchase for people who couldn't pass a background check, or for those sales that are illegal, then there's no loopholes. Now, what is needed here is enforcement. When Bloomberg has made it painfully clear that it's easy, no new laws are needed. That's a really important point. He's got videos of people breaking the law. There's no argument about that. And that's frustrating from a law guiding gun owner standpoint. I don't like people breaking the law. Doesn't matter really who it is. And because we purport to support the law abiding. And you cannot knowingly sell or give a gun to a criminal or someone who is under disability. They're a drug addict or a convicted felon or wanted by the law or something like that. They can't go buy it, and you can't give them a gun. You can't sell them a gun. If you know this, if you're knowingly selling to bad people, you're breaking the law. And that's appears to be what Bloomberg has video of. So the question is, was this turned over to law enforcement? He's got evidence of a crime. Has he worked with law enforcement to stop it? Has ATF gotten involved and investigated? There is nothing, not one mention of that in any of his report. Now, one of the papers did point out that this is... one of the papers got into this, and it's got quotes from the sheriff saying, hey, they never brought anything to me. I'm familiar with the areas, and to me, I'm aware of no crime until this takes place. So it's interesting that someone who purports to be so against these sorts of things and so wanting to crack down on this loophole, that they do absolutely nothing to help the prosecution of the criminals. Now, there's kind of a reason why, I think, and that is if you prosecuted the criminals and solved the problem, that kind of takes away the excuse for arguing for new laws. And that is really what Bloomberg's about. They're interested in not shutting down gun shows. They're interested in ending all private transactions of firearms. They're interested in driving the cost of firearm ownership up. That's the purpose of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. It has nothing to do with gun shows, folks. So another thing to be aware of, another fact, ATF trace data for 2008 shows that the states Bloomberg touts as having to close the loophole supply the same amount of guns to New York. So compare the iron pipeline that he's talking about. Look at the states Virginia and Pennsylvania. Now, Virginia hasn't closed the loophole that he wants closed. Pennsylvania has. But look at the stats on how many crime guns from those two states come into New York. You know what? Pennsylvania's just as many. And you know what? California, another one with absolutely silly restrictive laws, because it's definitely a proximity relationship. Obviously, Pennsylvania is close to New York. And so there's going to be more guns from Pennsylvania, say, than Oregon. But there's a lot of guns from California go right to New York in the trace data. So the other thing that's interesting, Bloomberg has no authority outside the borders. What he's doing is committing complicity and conspiracy to illegal sales. And it'd be interesting to see. He wasn't prosecuted last time. I really don't think it'll be interesting because I don't think they will prosecute it. It's curious, though, why they don't go after known criminals involved in the situation. So the bottom line is, if you can look at his legislation, we've got links to it on the site. It has nothing to do with gun shows or stopping these sorts of things. It's cracking down on you, the law-abiding citizen. And here I found this other article from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Sharonsville police were not aware of the undercover investigation or the release of the 36-page report. Sharonsville police Michael Schappa says the investigation team never contacted the department. It would have been nice to, quote, it would have been nice to know so we could have assisted in gathering of the evidence if they were concerned about criminal activity, he said. If they do have evidence, I hope they plan to turn it over. So here you go. The local police chief from the area was not contacted about the investigation, never heard about the investigation, never got a copy of the report, was never given any of the evidence during this whole time, and still is saying he's got nothing. Where is the outrage in the media for someone who has evidence of crimes that can lead to people's death, and he refuses to turn that over to the police? He refuses to cooperate. It's really unconscionable, but it's who Bloomberg is. So let's see. Another incident in the news this past week is the over in Pennsylvania, we had a woman who was shot, murdered by her husband, who then committed suicide. And this is kind of an interesting story. The Freedom States Alliance has a press release on it, saying Melanie Hain, a 31-year-old gun proponent from Lebanon, Pennsylvania, who openly carried a loaded handgun to her 5-year-old's soccer game last September. And that's where, folks, you may remember seeing this on national news, because she carried a open carry to her little girl's soccer game. And so that got a lot of media attention. But you know what? In Pennsylvania, it was legal. The sheriff revoked her license. She went to court. And they agreed, hey, this is legal. He has no authority to do that. She got her license back. So, anyway, they call that an irresponsible stunt that put her, put other parents and children at risk, and course, it didn't really put him at risk. They've got nothing to back that up. She was shot and killed by her husband in a tragic murder-suicide. Freedom State Alliance offered condolences to the family for their loss and suffering. But clearly, Melanie Hain lived in a false sense of security with the mistaken belief that, along with her husband, being surrounded in a gun culture and carrying firearms could protect her, despite putting her other parents and children at risk of being shot by carrying a loaded weapon in public. It is now Hain's three children who are orphaned in a tragic, ironic twist of America's gun violence epidemic. Unfortunately, Hain's death, violent death, is an all too common tragedy in America. Despite Hain being a true believer in the gun lobby's worldview of the proliferation of deadly guns increased her safety, the truth is that the availability and access to firearms puts all Americans at greater risk of gun violence. This tragedy demonstrates how Americans are deceived and manipulated by the gun lobby and industry into believing that owning and carrying guns will protect them when the overwhelming evidence prove otherwise. Folks, her husband was a cop. Is there really saying here that she is more dangerous because a police officer carries a gun? Think about that. Her husband committed murder. And then the coward committed suicide. So, I have no idea what led up to this, but the idea that surrounding yourself by a law enforcement husband who carries a gun, oh my, is dangerous is silly. I mean, really, she's saying that law enforcement shouldn't be allowed to have a gun in their own house. That's the point of this whole press release. They don't go into it in that detail. But if you think about it, that is exactly what she's arguing for. It's the gun in the house that killed her. No, folks, it's the husband who killed her. It has nothing to do with the gun. It's simply the tool that he used to commit the crime. Stick around. We got more stuff coming up in the second half of the show.
Right now at 955thefish.com, you can purchase a Gorgon Comfort Services gift certificate good for one $95 furnace tune-up, one $95 air conditioner tune-up, and one $85 home plumbing inspection, which includes the hot water tank. Altogether, valued at $275 for only $95. For two generations, Gorgon Comfort Services has been providing customers just like you with the highest quality home comfort products and trouble-free installation. All of their professional staff are trained at the factory as well as by Gorgon. Their family pledges to you the utmost in reliability and energy. Be sure to visit 95.5 The Fish's website at 955thefish.com and visit the Half Price Deals webpage to purchase a Gorgon Comfort Services gift certificate good for one $95 furnace tune-up, one $95 air conditioner tune-up, and one $85 home plumbing inspection, which includes the hot water tank, a $275 gift certificate for only $95. For all the details, visit the Half Price Deals page at 955thefish.com.
We know the way you love to live inside out at Window Systems.
We know at Window Systems, in these tough economic times, you have to make good decisions about maintaining and upgrading your home. You want the value of your home to increase, and you want to save money. Window Systems can help you do both. With a minimum purchase of 10 triple pane preservation replacement windows, Window Systems will pay your entire heating bill this January and February. When the weather is the coldest, your monthly bill is the highest. And after the holidays, when your budget is the tightest, we'll help you keep your house warm and comfy. The preservation line of replacement windows comes with a 40% fuel saving pledge. You can redesign your home's exterior and get a great return on your investment long after your January and February heating bill is paid for. By Window Systems.
We know the way you love to live at Window Systems.
216-398-0660.
How would you like to lose weight for free? Hi, I'm Steve Bostick for Right Size Smoothies.
And I'm Scott Johnson. For a few months now, we've offered an incredible deal to the public. Use Right Size Free for 2 full weeks and see how much weight you can lose before you pay for them.
But some of you haven't called, so we're offering one last chance to take advantage of this popular offer. These people called.
I lost weight within a couple days. Now I'm down 120 pounds.
A free trial sounded like a no-brainer, so I called. Within the first week, I'd lost a lot of weight.
I knew within a few days I finally found the answer. I've lost 44 pounds.
Right size smoothies contain an appetite manager that knocks out hunger cold. You'll see results early, so you'll know you can do it.
How much weight can you lose in 2 weeks? Try Right Size free and find out. You could be our next testimonial.
For your free 2-week trial, call 1-800-684-4300. 1-800-684-4300. 1-800-684-4300.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. When your liberal friends tell you how wonderful the British healthcare system is or how gun control will prevent violence, how do you come up with an answer? The best way, besides listening to this radio station, is to get Glenn Beck's hilarious new book, Arguing with Idiots. It's full of facts that will settle every argument from climate change to illegal immigration. It's available in bookstores now, but you'll get Glenn Beck's new book free when you subscribe to Town Hall Magazine, where thoughtful conservatives get intelligent insights every month. So for Glenn Beck's brand new book, log on to townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
Bill Bennett, mornings, 6 to 9.
There are people in the White House and there are people in the Justice Department. Their main purpose in being is to go after Bush.
Mike Gallagher, 9 till noon.
The CIA is supposed to be getting the bad guys. Now we got Leon Panetta trying to cover his fanny and make the Bush-Cheney administration look bad.
Dennis Prager, weekdays, noon till 3.
When vast sums of its economy are taken over by the state, it is the undoing of the American Revolution.
WHK.
Hi, this is Reno J. Rita from Inside the Great Outdoors. You like talking about the outdoors? You like to be outdoors? Well, join us every Sunday right here live at 8 a.m. on News Talk 1420 WHK, and we'll talk nothing but outdoors.
Now back to Firearms Forum on 1420 WHK.
Lock and load!
Hey, I'm going to do it. Welcome back to Firearms Forum and Concealed Carry Conversation. Your host, Jim Irvine. If you want to join us tonight, phone number is 216-901-0945. Toll free, 888-281-1110. Or email radio at buckeyefirearms.org. Let's see. I want to mention, for those of you who don't know what forums are, you want other interesting place to discuss things, we've got a forums on our website, buckeyefirearms.org. You can click on the forums. It's basically internet chat rooms. You can discuss all manner of things. And we've topped 1,000 registered users now, so it's becoming a very popular thing. Invite you to check that out. Now, next weekend is the Buckeye Bash. It's at Cardinal Center, Marengo, Ohio, about an hour and a half south of Cleveland or half an hour north of Columbus. 4:30 is private legislative reception, 5 o'clock social hour. We're going to give away a Ithaca 12-gauge home defense model shotgun for a door prize. So all you got to do is show up, and you got your chance for winning that. All kinds of fun, interesting guns. I've talked about them before. You can check them out on the website if you want to know what other stuff you're going to have a chance to buy at auction and stuff. Now, all of this goes to benefit Buckeye Firearms Foundation, which we're trying to raise the money to file that amicus brief and pay all the bills for that. So it goes for a great cause, helps all sorts of the educational stuff we do, the suing of the city of Cleveland, straighten those folks out. So invite you to come down. And because a couple folks have said, hey, give stuff away more often, I'm going to give away 2 tickets to the Buckeye Bash this coming Saturday, October 17th. It's Buckeyes have an away game, so you don't even have to worry about that. And I think they're playing at night, so you can even come to this and catch the game after you get home. So anyway, first caller right now, 216-901-0945. 2 free tickets to the Buckeye Bash. And let's go to the calls now. Norm on line 1. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Jim. Good evening.
Good evening.
I don't want to be an adversary, but I got to ask you this in an adversary type of way.
Go ahead.
Okay? You know, where is it written that we gun owners of America have got to basically placate, cave in when, you know, the Second Amendment, the way the law is written, shall not be infringed? Okay? I heard you a little while ago when I was in the car talking about some lawsuit, some litigation. You know, I didn't get the whole gist of it. Where you got to... There's something, some case you're fighting about.
Because the city of Chicago has ruled that, or the city of Chicago has laws that say you cannot own a handgun.
Okay,
period.
Okay,
you can't even have it in your own house.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm just going to bear with me now. All right. The law-abiding people that are trapped in the inner cities and urban cities such as Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit, they got to jump through more hoops to protect their homes, their livelihoods, and all that. And, of course, Bloomberg and the gun shows, I know all about that. When is it? When are these gun lobby groups like, what is it, Larry Pratt's outfit? What's the
Gun right? Owners of America.
Gun Owners of America. Oh, you know, the NRA. Where is it written where they got to basically cave in under the Second Amendment and go through all these hoops? Now, here's where I'm coming at now. Everybody that's got a permit to carry a gun, license, you know, to go through the instructions and all of that, okay, all that information is in a database. Home invasions are the number one place where these miscreants get their guns from, okay? It's that simple. It's nationwide. You got MS-13. You got the Mexican mafia. It is rampant. The media won't report on it. I think you probably agree with me. And the bottom line is the bad guys, they know where the guns are at. They're not going to walk into a gun show, that misconception of the straw purchases and all of that. My contention is
Police officers' houses get burglarized more than anybody knows because they got guns.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows it.
My next-door neighbor was a cop. They put a blanket over his dog in the dog cage, and they stole his guns. I can give you an example after an example.
Why do people rob a bank? Because that's where the money is. Why do you go?
Unfortunately, the real bank robbers are at Goldman Sachs, but that's another that's for another subject. The poor guy that robs the banks are schmuck on wheels. You know, again, I want to also bring this up too, because I brought up the Trivisano's program. I don't need to carry a gun anymore. I'm going to carry a light bulb. You know, the ones with the mercury in it. What are they going to do? They're going to legislate light bulbs. My point being, Jim, sooner or later, the law-abiding citizens of this country, whether are registered permit holders or not, are going to have to face these diabolical oligarchies like Bloomberg in this anti-gun legislation. Because, well, you know what's running up against us? The age factor. Most white males over 50 years of age understand that Norman Rockwell era of America is basically disappearing.
Well, I will disagree with that's not without merit. But I'll tell you what, you go to the college campuses today, it doesn't get reported in the media, but there is a strong undercurrent from young kids who care, and they want to get things back the way it is.
Well, that's my point now, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the problem is this. In order to basically raise the level of discourse and get a true debate on what's really taking place here, which is basically the dismantling of every American institution, including, let's say, the right of private ownership, private property, all of it. I mean, we're going to become a nation of renters, so to speak, and we're going to have to basically rent our air that we breathe. My question to you is, the gun lobby, the numbers, the amount of people that join, you know, the gun enthusiasts, the gun clubs, the hunters, the quick draw guys, the guy that plays cowboys, all of that. Why can't they collectively come together, form a powerful lobby with the right attorneys, because you need attorneys in this battle, in what's coming, I don't know if you're privy to the Homeland Security, new gun laws are being written, all the legislation that's coming down, to make it very expensive to basically purchase weapons, keep weapons, you know, stored in your homes and what have you. How much more do we have to bend the Second Amendment? That's my question. How much more do we have to go into a computer? We got to go for a firearm course when most of us guys are over 50 that served in the military, can hand guns very, you know, aptly and all of that, are proficient in handling weapons. When are we going to collectively find, rather than talk about the news, because the news, and again, bear with me, because I get real adamant about this, the news tells you what to think about, and the way they draw and collectively put the news together, they always make the gun owners the bad guy. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Illegal gun owners, you know, whacked out white supremacists. They put us under that umbrella. You know, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because in the hood, they protect themselves from their own. We know that here in the city of Cleveland, okay?
Well, I don't know. The number one cause of black youth in America, or cause of death, I believe, is being shot to death by a black youth.
Absolutely.
So it's not that they're protecting their own, they're killing their own.
And again, I don't want to get into the statistics, but that's what they use against the lawful gun owners of America.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so sick of it. I mean, I am so worn out with it. You know, and really, you know, to be honest with you, there should be a moratorium on any politician. Somehow they should be shunned. No, people should not buy or read the subscriptions to the newspapers that they get their names. And even the readership of newspapers is going off the radar screen now because people aren't reading. However, when they hear someone like you on the radio talking about Bloomberg and the content that you wrote about you on the airplane and how they misconstrue your words and how it gets printed, that's how the media manipulates the population on what to think about. And that just drives me up a wall.
Well, I tell you what, the biggest thing for gun owners is they need to get involved.
Exactly. You're
right. There's too many of them that...
Hey, Millie Mouse, he's just like the fat, the big fat bums that walk around the gun shows talking about the guns that they owned in 1932, and they get their hands... See, they're worn out, these people.
There's at least 80 million gun owners in the country. Only right. 4 million of them... Our NRA members.
Now, let me ask you
and far less than that are supporting groups like GOA or Buckeye Firearms.
And I just caught a glimpse of this on TV. Did you ever hear about the police enforcement in Alaska and how they deal with the criminal element? Did you see that on the news? It was on a travel channel in Alaska.
No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, the bottom line here is, you know, the vast space of Alaska.
Yes.
Every civilian is armed. Because the police can't respond, you know, they just can't get on their motorcycle and come to the crime scene,
right.
Okay? And the thing, when's the last time, and I'm just bringing this up as a point, any unrest in Alaska?
Right.
Because you want to know why? They know how to survive.
Absolutely.
See, it's the bottom 48 that doesn't know how to survive. Our borders are being overrun. The illegals are coming over here. They got better weapons than we have, okay? They know how to go full auto, MP5s and whatever. You follow me? And that's the problem where the media doesn't cover the real story.
No, they don't. And you're right. And that's part of the reason why this show is important and successful.
But, absolutely.
But gun owners have got to get involved and get active. That's when we're going to take our rights back. We don't get our rights back by preaching to the choir. We don't get our rights back by talking to our buddies. We get our rights back by putting our money where our mouth is, getting active and getting involved. And that's what this lawsuit is. This is being proactive. The city of Chicago is wrong, and we're not just going to sit around anymore and go, well, they're wrong, but it is the city of Chicago, and they're really big, and it costs a lot of money, and wow, it'd be really difficult. We'd have to go all the way to the Supreme Court. You know what? That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do whatever it takes to fix it. We did it with Washington, D.C. We're going to do it with Chicago next, and we're going to keep going.
How did you get involved in Chicago, though?
Because this is something that impacts everybody. This isn't just the city of Chicago. Because the question is here, does the Second Amendment apply to everywhere in the 50 states?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that it does, because I think the amendments do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
all right. So and we've got statewide preemption in Ohio, so the city of Cleveland or Toledo or wherever can't ban handguns like was done in Chicago. So how does this affect? How does this ruling? Why is it important to us? And the reason is, the Supreme Court's already ruled the Second Amendment is a fundamental right, and you have the right to defend yourself. They've ruled that you can have a handgun to defend yourself if that's the weapon you choose. That's the most common self-defense weapon. Now, if they now rule that this applies to the states, we have that. Now, if you've got a concealed carry permit, now justify for me how it's a fundamental right to defend your life and carry it while you're in the car, but if your employer puts up a sign that says no guns in his parking lot and you got to park there for work, you've lost your fundamental right on
exactly.
The way to and from work.
No, that's what I call jumping through the hoops, because basically...
But that's what's... Today, there's not a good argument. Once we win this case, mm-hmm. Now you can go right back and say, look, you're denying a fundamental right, the Supreme Court's ruled on it, this applies, and you're denying it to folks.
Can you tell me who the attorneys are that's going to be representing you?
Ken Hansen is going to write our brief. Alan Gura is the main attorney for this case, who is the same attorney who argued the Heller case last year.
See, my contention is you need an army of attorneys that understand how strong the founders wrote the Second Amendment shall not be infringed.
Yep.
It's that simple.
There's
and
a host of other folks on there.
My veins pop out of my head when I hear people how they... You know what it's all about? It's all about bending the rules for the elite. Let's not kid ourselves.
That's...
This ruling elite wants to try... And bottom line, if you read the Communist Manifesto, there's only two things left that they haven't done, okay? And one is take away the guns. I mean, let your audience figure out the other one. There's only two knots left in a rope, and then we're done as a republic. I like your show. Well, you get me aggravated sometimes, though. No, you want to know why? I got the Second Amendment. I don't need a stinking permit. Take care, Jim.
All right. Take care, Norm. And let's go to Don on line two now. Don, welcome to the show.
First of all, Jim, your last caller there that you just hung up on, a very, very sharp man. He would be great as an in-studio guest. He's well-informed.
Well, maybe we'll, Norm, if you're listening, give me a ring sometime, and maybe we'll go do that.
Okay, what I call about, James, is in today's Plain Dealer, page B2, it's about a retired firefighter being charged over a party held in a closed bar. But what I was speaking of is they said they were going to get him with a violation having an unregistered handgun. I was under the impression that there's no such thing as registering in Ohio.
You are correct.
Okay. Now, you had Richard Cordray, our attorney general, on your show, and he disclosed this. He disclosed about open carry, so on and so forth. Why is it that when I talk to law enforcement officers, the majority are not near up to speed on concealed carry? I'm not even going to push them with open carry because I personally am not an advocate of it, but it is the law. Richard Cordray says, yes, you can do this, and he is the main man. Why is it that so many law enforcement officers aren't even up to speed on concealed carry?
I think a big part of the problem is knowledge and if we've got a law enforcement officer who can answer better, give us a call, if not tonight, then next week. But I think it just doesn't come up on the morning briefings, and I think it's not the officer on the street's fault. I think it's the hierarchy and the hires up who don't do a good job of training and teaching our law enforcement officers the things they need to know. Now, okay. Maybe it comes down to a cost, and the bottom line is, let's say you've got to make a decision on, hey, we can either teach them about concealed carry laws today, or we can teach them about a wanted fugitive that we want them to be out for. Well, you know, their safety and the public safety is more important if they focus on the fugitive, because the permit holder is really unlikely to cause them any problems today or tomorrow or next week. So maybe that's why it just gets put off. But I think departments need to do a better job of informing officers. And that's one of the things our foundation is working with Attorney General Cordray's office and trying to come up with an educational type thing to be distributed to law enforcement across the state of Ohio to help them understand these laws and their responsibilities as a law enforcement officer, so that we do a better job educating them, because obviously there's a problem there.
Well, I understand that. You're absolutely right. But as they always tell us, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
And that's a two-sided coin, and it applies to the officers as well. And officers can find themselves in a whole lot of trouble for improperly detaining someone who they have no right to.
And it's definitely it's not the fault of the law enforcement officers. It's the fault of the supervision, the management, the people that control all this.
Exactly.
I'm wondering why they don't interject into these people, because this is a I would say a priority, yet they don't know.
In the city of Cleveland, it's worse. They don't even teach. Not only do they not teach them the good stuff, they tell them things that are wrong. So you've got it's hard. You know, what do you do if you're a law enforcement officer and your boss tells you something that is wrong and says you have to go out and arrest this guy or take his gun if he doesn't have it registered? You know, you're putting the officer in a bad spot, and that's
absolutely
Unfortunately what our city's done.
You think that should be brought up to Mr. Cordray's office?
Yeah, he's aware of what Cleveland's doing. He's actually a party to the lawsuit now with them, with us against the city to defend the state law and get the city back in shape. And hopefully we get some movement on that case here in the next month or two, so that we can move that forward and get this issue resolved. At the very least,
keep us informed then.
Yeah, we absolutely, when we get some motion on that, because I get emails on this probably every other week at least, wanting to know what's going on with the lawsuit in Cleveland. And the answer is nothing. It's sitting on the judge's docket. Now, he was out, I think, for some medical issues for a while, so things got backed up, and they've got huge caseload. But hopefully in the next month we get some movement, at the very least, on a temporary restraining order request to prevent them from harassing folks in an ongoing manner, which is going on, and as you mentioned, reported in the Plain Dealer again today.
Thank you, Jim. You're well informed.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. With the time we got left, I was going to get into some more of the Lieutenant Grossman class from last weekend. And it's funny because I got a couple emails on that topic this week. Some said, wow, that's really heavy stuff and really serious. I don't know that I'd enjoy that forum. And I think part of that, that's my fault. That's a lost in translation thing. Yeah, it is a lot of really heavy stuff, and it's stuff that is going to make you think. But Lieutenant Grossman also does a really good job of putting in some humor and looking at the funny side of things as it goes along. So it's not like this big, awful day. And it was funny. I remember talking to one of the wives. The husband was at the Grossman a year ago, came back this year and brought his wife. And I asked her, how did you like it? And she said, you know, I thought this was going to be a really sad, depressing day. But she goes, this was really enjoyable. It was fun. I learned so much. I am really glad I came. And that's the information I was trying to present to folks. So I think maybe I didn't do a good job with the humor side of things, because it is serious when people are getting killed. But we'll get into more of that another time. And so a couple people emailed and said, hey, where else can I find out about that? The seminar, we'll have them back again next year, so watch our website for that. But the seminar is in large part the content from his Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman's book, On Combat. It's the psychology and physiologically of deadly conflict in war and in peace. And it's a great book. You can get it on Amazon.com. We've got a spot on our website. You can click to and link through or on our shop. So On Combat by Dave Grossman. If you carry a firearm for self-defense, probably the most important book you will ever read in your life, bar none. It's just an amazing wealth of information. We got an email from Jack, said, I don't understand what the 14th Amendment has to do with the Second Amendment. So I want to read real quick on the 14th Amendment, Section 1. This is the clause we're talking about here. It says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Here's the important part. No state shall make or enforce any laws which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction equal protection of the laws. So that section of the 14th Amendment is what the operable part is, where it's saying, hey, the state also cannot infringe on your rights and take away your rights. So that's what we're talking about. And let's see, a quick self-defense story here. This is from the Houston Chronicle last month. A man shot and killed two teenagers and wounded another as they tried breaking into his home early Friday morning. This happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. Three or four male teenagers broke into the home. They were armed, one with a handgun, two with pellet guns that looked like more powerful weapons, said the police chief. One of the three college-age people who lived in the rental home opened fire on the teens with his .40-caliber Glock pistol, killing two 16-year-olds, wounding another. A 17-year-old suspect said this fled the scene, was captured. None of the residents were injured. One was a Texas State University student. So compare that to the anti-gun side of the more guns, you know, they don't protect you, and see, it was just ironic, and this is what endangers you. No, it's not, folks. Those college kids are alive because college kids acted responsibly with a weapon. He defended his own life. He defended his friend's life against four armed invaders. That's what having a gun in your house about self-protection is about. Be safe till next week. This concludes the show. I want to thank our board operator, Joe, our callers, and all of our listeners and guests. You can check out more at the BuckeyeFirearms.org website. I invite you, if you support this, come support our foundation. There's a block on there. Click and donate, because we definitely need funds to move this lawsuit forward. Money is important to regain our freedoms, and you got to put your money where your mouth is. When we all act together, the law's on our side, we will win. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of News Talk 1420, WHK, or Salem Communications.